This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Chinese pianist Long Long is big, super big. And at just 26 years old, he's the musical ambassador of a changing China. And he's worked hard to get where he is, playing since he was 3 years old, moving with his dedicated and demanding father to Beijing, and then to the United States to study with the best. This hour On Point, China's Long Long and the rough road to stardom. You can join the conversation. Have you followed the rise of Long Long? Have you seen his flamboyant, emotion-filled performances? What is it about his music that grabs you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Beijing is Long Long. He's been playing piano nearly his entire life. At the age of three, his parents spent $300, nearly half a year's salary, to buy an upright piano for their home in China. At age nine, Long Long left his mother behind and moved with his father to Beijing so he could train at the prestigious Beijing Central Conservatory of Music. And at 15, the two traveled even farther, relocating to the U.S. so that Long Long could study at the Curtis Institute. At the age of 17, Long Long got his big break, subbing for Andre Watts at Chicago's Ravinia Festival. On Friday, China proudly placed Long Long front and center, giving him a big role in the Olympic opening ceremonies. He has numerous albums and is also out with a new memoir, Journey of a Thousand Miles, My Story. Long Long from Beijing, welcome to On Point. How wonderful to have you.
Thank you, Dane. Really, thank you for having me here.
Thank you. So many watched you on television on Friday at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. There you were right in the middle of it. Can you describe that moment for us?
It was absolutely amazing experience for me. This was really something that it's kind of like a dream in the making. That a huge piano in the middle of the stadium, and with 5,000 dancers around me. I'm very happy to play this new composed piece by Ye Xiaogang, special for the Olympic Games, and it's called Starring Sky.
Well, let's listen to some of it, Long Long. Here is NBC's Bob Costas, who anchored coverage of the Olympic opening ceremonies. He is introducing you. You sat at the piano. You were surrounded by dancers in green glowing costumes.
At the piano, one of China's most popular musicians, 26-year-old Long Long. He's a megastar here in China. And the little girl is Li Muzi, who is just 7 years old and has only been playing piano for about a year.
Long Long, beyond that beautiful spectacle that we watched, what did that moment say about China and its emergence on the world stage?
Right. It was actually the beginning of the second part of the show. And it's actually presenting the new generation of Chinese. The openness, freshness, and toward to the world. So it's kind of like the new generation really hugging the world.
Your memoir is illuminating and heart-wrenching at turns. I wonder if you would introduce to us your life. Tell us how you were first introduced to music.
Yes, so my parents actually, they love music. My father is a professional Chinese violin, it's called Erhu players. So he actually had a very tough time during the Cultural Revolution. And he basically, his dream didn't achieve. And my mother also, she loves dance, she loves singing, but unfortunately, the Cultural Revolution basically destroyed her dream to be a professional singer. So then it's, I mean, this is really, really tough. And then comes the 1980s generation, which is only one child generation. So that's why when I was a little kid, like 1 or 2 years old, my parents already bought a piano, upright piano, for me in the living room. And I was starting to watch the American cartoon, Tom and Jerry.
A Tom and Jerry cartoon with the cat at the piano performing?
Yeah, it's called a Cat's Concerto. And at that time, I didn't know who Liszt was, or like Horowitz, or Gershwin. The only person I know, or not even person, the character I know was Tom.
You know, we have it, Long Long. Let's play a clip from Franz Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody number 2. So there it was from the Tom and Jerry cartoon, the Cat Concerto, shall we call it?
Right, the Cat Concerto. Yeah.
And your talent quickly became evident. Your first public recital at the age of 5, and by 9 you had applied to the Central Conservatory of Music in Beijing, placing first out of, thousands of applicants for just a handful of slots?
Yeah, that was very difficult audition. I mean, that probably the most challenging audition I ever been through. Because, I mean, for that time, China has already lots of young pianists. Today, we have like 35 million kids learning the piano, but that time, probably, I would say maybe 9 million or something like that. And the Beijing Central Conservatory is the place that I mean, everyone liked to be, so the competition was really hard.
Intense. I wish you would begin to describe for us, when you went to Beijing, the journey that you and your father began. At that point, without your mother, who had stayed home to make money to support you, it was very difficult. And chronicled in your book, it was hard to read. What kind of conditions were you living in, Lung Lung?
Right, so maybe I can do. I mean, let me tell you a little bit about the life before Beijing, so then you can make a contrast. Back in my hometown, Shenyang, my father actually, he works as a police officer. So he had a okay job and okay salaries. And my mom lives. My mom actually works for a kind of a private institution, which is kind of a operator job. So it's like she's make phone calls and connect, peoples. So that's what is her job. So it's, pretty normal jobs. So my father decided to quit his job to come to Beijing because I'm too young at the time, only 9 years old, and I need someone to taken care of. So we went to Beijing. We rent a place. It's basically $10 per month. So you can imagine how for how interesting was
yeah,
the
you write in the
condition.
Book, you describe it as a 100-square-foot studio apartment with no heat. Many nights you slept in all the clothes that you owned just to stay warm.
Right. Beijing is really cold in during the winter. But that is okay, you know, because, I mean, that's kind of thing. It's okay because it's not... it's nothing to do with piano, so it's all right.
But it goes to the sacrifice that you and your father
right.
both made, and beyond that, the kind of schedule that you were living by as a young boy, whose father really determined you were going to be an international star very early, by the age of two or three.
I mean, he had a big dream, but he didn't achieve it. So I mean, he put all the pressure on me. So basically, that's the story. But one thing we are in common, which is that, you know, we both like music, and I also like to be a pianist, and so that is really great. But we had a first biggest challenge. The challenge was I switched the teacher. Because in Shenyang I had one wonderful teacher, you know, taught me for many, many years. And then I went to Beijing, I studied with a new teacher, and I call Professor Angry.
Professor Angry. You know, I have to take a break, Long, and I want to hear about that and much more after this break. We are speaking with the spectacular phenomenon Long from Beijing. 1-800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, much more of this conversation after this break. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about Chinese pianist Long, speaking with him from Beijing. You can join the conversation. What about Long's music speaks to you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Long is just 26 years old, already a superstar. He played last Friday during the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games. His new memoir is Journey of a Thousand Miles, My Story. Before the break, Long, I had to cut you off for time, and you were telling us the story of a very difficult life in Beijing, studying piano at a young age with your father, who had sacrificed really nearly everything for your success, placed all of his dreams and hopes really on your shoulders. You were telling us about one of your teachers at the conservatory. Finish the story, would you?
Yeah, so Professor Angry... it's a lady, so she was telling me how to play the piano, and you know, the first few lessons I felt there's many things I should learn from her, and she's never been really nice to me, but she's all right, you know. I mean, she's like start telling me how to do things, and then I discovered something strong that every time when I doing what she said to me, like when I deliver things to her, she said, always said to me, I never taught you this way. Why are you doing this? And I said, come on. I mean, last week you showed me, I mean, personally playing like this. She said, no, you're so bad. You don't have a feeling. You play, it's really nothing. And you're, your head is, your brain is almost like a potato. And then she said, you know, if you were like that, you will never become a pianist. And then, so it's all right, you know, it's fine. But then later, she really, really hit me really hard. And she said that, that I will never become a pianist in my life. And she said, you should forget about this dream. Mm. And your father should go back, and your father should go back home to Shenyang and find something else to do. Mm. And then,
and what was going through your mind at that moment? What did you think? You should?
Oh my gosh, I was always so passionate about piano, and I loved piano so much from bottom of my heart. And it was really, really disappointing and really hurt me so much. Mm. And so she fired me in the end after 6 months of teaching me. And so she said, go home. That's it. Mm. So that was really, really bad. And my father, I mean, he basically really became really wild because he didn't understand this teacher, and I mean, as we didn't understand her, but in the same time that basically she told him to forget about, you know.
Forget going about the dream.
Yeah.
Tell me about your father, Lang Lang, because you spent a great deal in the book, time in the book, talking about and being quite honest about your father's influence and often his overbearance. When you were little, your father would throw your favorite toys out the window if you didn't practice enough. At night, when it was just the two of you and you were living with hardly any food and in a cold studio apartment, your father would get into the bed to warm it for you as you were practicing, not to take a moment away from your practice. Describe the pressure of living with that, the determination and the fierce ambition that he had for you that really drove you to great success.
I mean, he's a kind of real Asian father, you know, like, because in China it seems like the father and son's relationship has always been very complicated. Fathers always trying to fake their face, you know, when they deal with their sons. Mm. And my father always, I mean, I know he loved me from his heart, but he never shows that. You know, he's always hiding his emotion. And
one of the great stories in the book about that is, and a frankly difficult story was the one that you tell after you'd come home late from a choral rehearsal and how furious he was with you that you had missed practice time. Can you tell the story?
Yeah, so this is right after I get fired by the piano teacher. So I was really disappointed, and then so I was supposed to go home like, let's say, 3 o'clock, but I didn't because the choral teacher, they asked me to accompany the school choirs, so I
and
stayed,
you did and you stayed late
for 2 hours to accompany them, and then I came back home and I saw my father. And he just lost his mind. And he said to me, I think, you know, you shouldn't live anymore because you destroyed your dream and you destroyed my dreams. And I think there's only one thing. It's, you know, it's good for you. You should, you know, you should just leave the world. And it was, he was so serious, you know, he was really became like kind of crazy, you know. Of course, you know, I understand his pressure, but he totally lost his mind. And then, you know, this is probably the hottest, hardest feeling I lived till today. And it's really hard. I mean, and then I tried. I mean, it's hard to describe anymore. It's It's so sad. And
it all goes to the pressures and the expectations that he had for you, as I mentioned, telling you that if you didn't succeed and you weren't going to practice, that you would be better off dead than to not accomplish. Take us fast forward now, if you would, to arriving in the United States and the dramatic story of your big break into stardom. What happened?
And then, you know, I mean, after that, I must say that I had a long time depression for a really long time, that I felt really missing direction for life. So I don't know what I like to be. And then, so few months later, very fortunately, that my father changed himself and he started talking to me and we start to exchange our emotions. So we got a new teacher, so everything is all right. But let's make the story short, is that I would say competitions, you know, it's really takes me back on shape, because there's many new repertoire I need to learn, and I don't need to think about so much other things, but I should focus on to play the piano and to improve myself. So that's really back me in shape very quickly.
So you came to the United States and you came to the Curtis Institute, a very famous place in Philadelphia, and you filled in one night at the last minute for Andre Watts, the Chicago Symphony, and you were introduced by the great violinist Isaac Stern. I want to hear some of that performance. This is in 1999, your last-minute substitute for this great performer. It launched your international career. Long, long, you have been called one of the most brilliant pianists of a generation. New York Times has called you the hottest artist on the classical music planet. Obviously, you were a prodigy, but I wonder what distinguishes you from the large number of other very talented pianists out there.
I'm really honored that to hear such a great comment from people. But certainly, I think there are a few things that I felt there's something different. One is that I really work hard, I mean, from the beginning. And from when I was a kid, my father always said to me, you need to work harder than other people.
And how hard was that? How many hours a day are we talking about practice?
When I was a kid, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours practice a day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
And now?
Now, I mean, I'm getting older, so 2 or 3 hours
right
a day.
Right, 26. Yeah.
But so that's one thing.
So hard work.
Hard work. And then I must say that, you know, even in the beginning, my relationship with my father is love and hate relationship. But I must say that I'm really grateful that I had a person like my dad. And of course, I have a wonderful mother as well. So I have a wonderful parents always supporting me, and they always believed in my talent. And that's also very important, because sometimes when the kids start missing their directions, and then the parents, if the parents are not very strong enough, then you just let it go, you know. But my parents always support me 100% or 200%.
Yeah, better so, said. You are a spellbinding performer, Long Long, and as I watch you, you know, with your eyes closed and your head back, it's as if you're in some kind of musical trance or something. Have you always had this flair and this movement about you when you perform? It's very unique. How did that come about?
I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, I look at my videotape when I was 5 years old, playing a piece by Liszt called Little Hungarian, and also a Chopin waltz. And I look at it, and it was very funny that I played almost the same, the physical gestures.
So what are you envisioning when you play, Long Long? What's going through your mind?
When I was a teenager, I always try to help myself by imagine pictures, movies, motion pictures, paintings, stories. You know, I try to make a story out of music and to try to understand better meaning. And that works really well because once you're teenager, you don't have such a life experience because your life is pretty short. So the only way to do it is to really open up your imagination and to try to feel it with your music making.
Long Long, you have played sold-out recitals and concerts in every major city in the world. You have worked with the world's best orchestras under the most renowned conductors. What is it about an audience that you love?
I mean, music is about sharing. And no matter pop musicians or classical musicians, because we get inspired from the piece, from the songs. And audience get inspired from us. So as a musician, we are kind of a bridge builders. And through music, we are building together understanding, respect, and enjoyment. So therefore, what I love about performing is that I really take, I can really have the chance to take the great content from the wonderful work which already exists. And in the same time, bring the piece live again. You know, every time when I play, it's a new time. It's a new life, born again, reborn, recreate. And once we have this wonderful freshness into the music, and then we can bring out more personal thoughts in the same time to the audience. And this is something that I really enjoy to doing.
Who are your heroes, Long Long? Long Long, who has shaped your own professional performance?
Certainly, when I came to America, my first teacher, Gary Graffman, certainly he helped me so much to open up my musical dimensions, and also taught me so much about music knowledges and traditions, because still I'm not come from countries which has a very strong tradition for classical music, such as Russia, Germany, France, or even America. It's for Chinese classical music and Western culture, it's still pretty far. It's not that close to our tradition. So it's extremely important to have a great teacher to inspire you to make, you know, to see the difference between different styles, different period of time, and the details. And that's really something that I feel so helpful in my life so far.
We are talking to Chinese pianist Long Long, and you can join our conversation. What do you hear in the story of this hardworking child prodigy? What about his strict, overbearing father? The effects of the Cultural Revolution? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. More to come with Long Long from Beijing. After this break, this is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking to Long Long, Chinese classical pianist, music superstar. You can join the conversation. Do you listen to Long Long's music? What about it draws you in? Is he playing the soundtrack of a new China? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. 26-year-old pianist Long Long joins me from Beijing. He's played with most of the major orchestras around the world and has become an international phenomenon. At this point, I'd like to bring another voice into our conversation from New York. David Remnick joins me. He's editor of The New Yorker magazine, and in the August 4th edition, he profiled Long Long in a piece entitled The Olympian. Nice to have you, David.
Thanks for having me.
So describe the success, put this into perspective for us, the success of Long Long in China and really around the world.
Well, I traveled around China with Long Long in June, and it was an incredible experience. First of all, he's a wonderful guy. He's incredibly engaging and intelligent and unpretentious. And we went to a number of events, book signings, record signings, movie premieres as a documentary about his life, his extraordinary life. And at all of these, he was treated like a superstar. And you've been watching the Olympics, no doubt, and you see the various athletic superstars getting the star treatment in Beijing. And we barely know them unless they play for the Houston Rockets. Long Long is really the first high culture figure, born in China, raised in China, who is straddling the East and the West, China and Western culture and concert houses. And he does it with extraordinary aplomb. So it was a great experience for me.
So you talk about this new high culture figure Long Long is. How does that represent the change from, you know, the past to the present, to where we are now as far as culture?
I don't want to make a direct analogy between Russia and China, but there were lots of high culture figures in Russia who achieved a great presence in the West, whether or not they emigrated or not. That hasn't happened as much with China on a broad level. And Long Long has a great gift. He has a great pianistic gift, but he also has a flair of a showman, which attracts broader audiences, and he's quite young. He's 26. And as a result, he sells records. He sells out Carnegie Hall and equivalent concert halls all over the West. He's a bit different in China than when he's in the West. I think when he plays in China, especially if he's outside of Beijing, Shanghai, or Guangzhou, his program has much more Chinese music in it. As he told me, if he played, you know, late Beethoven sonatas for 3 hours in Shenyang or the provinces, people wouldn't greet him so heartily, I think. Mm. I think that's fair. And so he's adjusted not his playing, but his programs for different audiences. Mm. He's a very savvy manager of his own career. And he's also, I should say that he's not a very political guy, that he's very, very careful, and I think Long Long would maybe shyly agree with me, very careful about what he says and doesn't say about politics. It's not a huge interest for him in a public way, although he's smart and observant and has his own feelings. He's very careful in his autobiography, and even in his comments to me and other journalists, to not be brazenly political.
What about the marketing of Long Long? You talk about his being a savvy manager of his own career. Audi, Montblanc, Sony, all of these things.
He's very intelligent. He's got a great team here in New York.
Yeah.
And they have marketed him in a way that the implicit message is, look, there are probably a dozen very, very great pianists in the world, if not more. Long Long doesn't pretend to be the absolute best or certainly not the most mature. There's Brendel and there's Martha Argerich and Pollini and the rest. And you could maybe say that they're certainly farther along and maybe deeper as musicians at this point, especially with some part of the repertoire. He's a developing musician. He began, as many young pianists do, with bravura repertoire, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff. And in his spare time, he's working very hard, especially in Berlin with Daniel Barenboim, to get at that deeper, richer, later repertoire, so that his, as he ages, as he heads toward his 30th birthday and onward, that his repertoire will suddenly deepen when it comes to Beethoven and Bach and other composers.
Hmm. Long Long, I'm curious what your reaction is to what you have been hearing from the New Yorker's David Remnick about you and the evolution of your personal style and your success. What do you make of
first,
it? Is he right?
I'm a big fan of David. And actually, David, I miss you from Beijing.
Good to hear from you, Long Long. You had quite an audience the other night.
Thank you. Yeah, and certainly, I think, you know, we spent a wonderful time in Beijing, and absolutely, there's many repertoires that I need to learn, and I know that there's many things I don't have, particularly on some really hard understanding pieces, intellectual pieces, and I think that that's the future that I'm trying very hard to get into that crowd.
Talk about Long Long, this notion that David Remnick talked about, of bridging the East and West. You seem to do it so effortlessly. Does it come naturally to you? Is it just part of who you are?
I mean, certainly, because I came to America as a teenager, so I kind of learned a lot of things from the American education, and I must say that I really enjoyed very much to study in America, and I love the education system here because it's much more, you have so much more freedom to create more things, and particular for classical music, that American education, it gives you much more possibilities to develop as a musician.
You talk about the cultural crossover. I want to listen to a piece that you have played called Happy Times, inspired by Chinese folk music, a good example of how you have really been an ambassador for Chinese culture in many ways around the world. Here it is. David Remnick, a final comment from you about Long Long and the future of his career and of his music.
Well, I think maybe the person that I spoke to that seemed, there were really two incredibly major teachers in Long Long's career, and mentors, Gary Grafman, who was at Curtis, where Long studied in Philadelphia for years, and now Daniel Barenboim in Berlin. I talked to both of them, and Barenboim said, look, you know, a classical musician's career, if he or she is smart and has, you know, unplumbable talents, is a very long one. It's not like most rock and roll artists or certain other kinds of artists. You look at the career of somebody like Pellini or Brendel. I mean, these are careers that last for 50 years. Long Long, incredible as it is to imagine it, Long Long, who's been around in the public consciousness in the West for 6-7 years, is going to be around for a very long time. You know, we wish him well and good health and all the rest. And what happens is an artist develops, like a novelist sometimes. You look at the career of Philip Roth, who was such a sensation in his late 20s and 30s with Portnoy's Complaint, and now he's in his 70s, and look at the richness of the last 6-7 novels and how much different they are from the beginning. So, you know, what I hope for Long, who's I should say really a wonderful guy as well as such a great performer and artist, is that that he gets what he wants so much, which is for the artistry to deepen and deepen. And as good as he is at marketing and has such a good sense of the world, I think what he wants most of all is for his artistry to develop, and Daniel Barenboim seems to be the ideal teacher for him.
David Remnick, editor of the New Yorker magazine. In the August 4th issue, he profiled Long Long in a piece called The Olympian. David Remnick, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, it's my great pleasure.
Thank you. Let's go to the phones now and have some listeners join our conversation. First, from Watertown, Massachusetts, is Jillian. Hi, Jillian. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead.
I have to confess, Long Long, I hadn't ever heard you before Friday night, but I really loved your performance, and of course the whole show on Friday night. I just was wondering if you could tell us about that little girl who was sitting with you at the piano. Who was she? And I just was wondering if you could tell us about her.
What's sure.
Thank you, John.
She's actually 5 years old, and she's basically represent the new generation of China. She only studied piano for a year. And so I remember the first rehearsal I met her. She said, "Oh, this is your first rehearsal, but it's already my 10th rehearsal. So you should follow me, you know. I will hold your hand and just follow me."
Now that's confidence.
And I said to her, "Do you want me to teach you?" She said, "No."
So maybe cute. A little humility would be good, too. Listen, tell me about, you do have enormous popularity with children. In fact, 40 million Chinese children are said to have started playing the piano. In China, they call it the Long Long effect, a phenomenon of so many children starting to play who want to be like you. I know Steinway, for example, for the first time in their 150-year history, has created a piano with your name on it. What's the message that you want children to hear through your story?
I mean, because music really changed my life, and I really don't know, you know, without music, what kind of life I will have, you know. And but that's less important. The really most important thing is that I felt music is really one of the most powerful forms, art form in the world, that it's really communicate between people and open doors. And in the same time, I found that music gives you lots of inspiration when you hear a wonderful sound. It makes you feel very different, and you know, really change your mood. That's 100% for sure. Mm. But also more than that, that music really, if you are, you know, you're a great performer, that you learn so much things from music, and then it's like a universal language. Through music, you can deliver your thoughts and the imagination sounds in your inner brain, mm-hmm. And it has such a great unlimited space to develop.
Mm. Yeah. I'm curious who you think, Long Long, are the greatest musical performers today, whether they be pianists or instrumentalists of some sort. As far as work ethic, raw ability, I mean, who do you see sort of evolving as the greats? From which cultures?
Right. Certainly, there are a few really, really great musicians live today. One is my teacher. I mean, I really admire him so much, Daniel Barenboim. He's not only a great pianist, but he's also a great conductor and musician.
But I mean the young performers, the young children today.
Oh, the young children.
Where are
today?
The greats coming from?
Right. There, you know, there are a few wonderful talents in a very, very young age. There's one I like very much, name's Mark Yu. Actually, I'm inviting him to play a duet with me together on the 30th in London at the Proms. But what I like about him is that he really has such a wonderful personality through his music making. Mm-hmm. And this is very inspiring. I felt that, because as a musician, you cannot hear everybody plays the same thing, you know. Everyone must have their own voice when they play, mm-hmm. whether they have a great whether they have a great technique or not, whether, you know, that's not important. The important thing is that they have a very strong statement in their music making.
And do you attribute your success, finally here in our last few seconds, to your exceedingly strong work ethic, or is it just raw ability coming out in you?
I didn't really understand this.
Is it your work ethic that you attribute to your great success?
Oh, I see. I must say that I believe you need to have a bit of talent. Not so much, but a bit of talent. You don't need to have the talent like Mozart, because, I mean, nobody's like that. But you do need to have some kind of special things in yourself. And also, I think another very important thing is that you need to have a very very good teacher and confidence. And this is, I feel, very important.
Well, you have all of it. Long Long joining us from Beijing, China, 26-year-old Chinese pianist and international superstar, played last Friday at the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics, and author of the new book, Journey of a Thousand Miles, My Story. Long Long, a pleasure to have you with us this hour. Thank you, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you very much. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and download the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.